The bowl rolled away with as much swiftness as when Prince Bahman first hurled it from his hand, which obliged him to put his horse to the same pace to avoid losing sight of it, and when it had reached the foot of the mountain, it stopped. The prince alighted from his horse, laid the bridle on his neck, and having first surveyed the mountain and seen the black stones, began to ascend, but had not gone 4 steps before he heard the voices mentioned by the dervish, though he could see nobody. Some said, "Where is that fool going? Where is he going? What would he have? Do not let him pass." Others,
"Stop him! Catch him! Kill him!"
And others, with a voice like thunder,
"Thief! Assassin! Murderer!"
While some, in a jibing tone, cried, "No, no, do not hurt him. Let the pretty fellow pass. The cage and bird are kept for him." Notwithstanding all these troublesome voices, Prince Bahman ascended with resolution for some time. But the voices redoubled with so loud a din, both behind and before, that at last he was seized with dread, his legs trembled under him, he staggered, and finding that his strength failed him, he forgot the dervish's advice, turned about to run down the hill, and was that instant changed into a black stone. A metamorphosis which had happened to many before him who had attempted the ascent. His horse, likewise, underwent the same change. From the time of Prince Bahman's departure, the Princess Parizade always wore the knife and sheath in her girdle, and pulled it out several times in a day to know whether her brother was alive. She had the consolation to understand he was in perfect health and to talk of him frequently with Prince Perviz. On the fatal day that Prince Bahman was transformed into a stone, as Prince Perviz and the princess were talking together in the evening, as usual the prince desired his sister to pull out the knife to know how their brother did. The princess readily complied, and seeing the blood run down the point, was seized with so much horror that she threw it down.
"Ah, my dear brother," cried she, "I have been the cause of your death, and shall never see you more. Why did I tell you of the talking bird, singing tree, and golden water? Or rather, of what importance was it to me to know whether the devout woman thought this house ugly or handsome, or complete or not? I wish to heaven she had never addressed herself to me."
Prince Perviz was as much afflicted at the death of Prince Bahman as the princess, but not to waste time in needless regret, as he knew that she still passionately desired possession of the marvellous treasures, he interrupted her, saying, "Sister, our regret for our brother is vain. Our lamentations cannot restore him to life. It is the will of God. We must submit and adore the decrees of the Almighty without searching into them. Why should you now doubt of the truth of what the holy woman told you? Do you think she spoke to you of 3 things that were not in being, and that she invented them to deceive you who had received her with so much goodness and civility? Let us rather believe that our brother's death is owing to some error on his part, or some accident which we cannot conceive. It ought not, therefore, to prevent us from pursuing our object. I offered to go this journey, and am now more resolved than ever. His example has no effect upon my resolution. Tomorrow I will depart." The princess did all she could to dissuade Prince Perviz, conjuring him not to expose her to the danger of losing 2 brothers. But he was obstinate, and all the remonstrances she could urge had no effect upon him. Before he went, that she might know what success he had, he left her a string of 100 pearls, telling her that if they would not run when she should count them up on the string, but remain fixed, that would be a certain sign he had undergone the same fate as his brother, but at the same time told her he hoped it would never happen, but that he should have the delight of seeing her again. Prince Perviz, on the 20th day after his departure, met the same dervish in the same place as his brother Bahman had done before him. He went directly up to him, and after he had saluted, asked him if he could tell him where to find the talking bird, the singing tree, and the golden water. The dervish urged the same remonstrances as he had done to Prince Bahman, telling him that a young gentleman, who very much resembled him, was with him a short time before, that, overcome by his importunity, he had shown him the way, given him a guide, and told him how he should act to succeed, but that he had not seen him since, and doubted not but he had shared the same fate as all other adventurers. "Good dervish," answered Prince Perviz, "I know whom you speak of. He was my elder brother, and I am informed of the certainty of his death, but know not the cause."
"I can tell you," replied the dervish. "He was changed into a black stone, as all I speak of have been, and you must expect the same transformation, unless you observe more exactly than he has done the advice I gave him, in case you persist in your resolution, which I once more entreat you to renounce."
"Dervish," said Prince Perviz, "I cannot sufficiently express how much I am obliged for the concern you take in my life, who am a stranger to you, and have done nothing to deserve your kindness. But I thoroughly considered this enterprise before I undertook it. Therefore I beg of you to do me the same favour you have done my brother. Perhaps I may have better success in following your directions."
"Since I cannot prevail with you," said the dervish, "to give up your obstinate resolution, if my age did not prevent me, and I could stand, I would get up to reach you a bowl I have here, which will show you the way."
Without giving the dervish time to say more, the prince alighted from his horse and went to the dervish, who had taken a bowl out of his bag, in which he had a great many, and gave it him with the same directions he had given Prince Bahman, and after warning him not to be discouraged by the voices he should hear, however threatening they might be, but to continue his way up the hill till he saw the cage and bird, he let him depart. Prince Perviz thanked the dervish, and when he had remounted and taken leave, threw the bowl before his horse, and spurring him at the same time, followed it. When the bowl came to the bottom of the hill, it stopped. The prince alighted, and stood some time to recollect the dervish's directions. He encouraged himself, and began to walk up with the resolution to reach the summit. But before he had gone above 6 steps, he heard a voice, which seemed to be near, as of a man behind him, say, in an insulting tone, "Stay, rash youth, that I may punish you for your presumption." Upon this affront the prince, forgetting the dervish's advice, clapped his hand upon his sword, drew it, and turned about to revenge himself, but had scarcely time to see that nobody followed him before he and his horse were changed into black stones. In the meantime, the Princess Perizard, several times a day after her brother's departure, counted her chaplet. She did not omit it at night, but when she went to bed put it about her neck, and in the morning, when she awoke, counted over the pearls again to see if they would slide. The day that Prince Perviz was transformed into a stone, she was counting over the pearls as she used to do, when all at once they became immovably fixed, a certain token that the prince, her brother, was dead. As she had determined what to do in case it should so happen, she lost no time in outward demonstrations of grief, which she concealed as much as possible, but having disguised herself in man's apparel, she mounted her horse the next morning, armed and equipped, having told her servants she should return in 2 or 3 days, and took the same road that her brothers had done.